and welcome to a clip show. If you're new to the podcast, this is a special extra episode, and that bell you can hear is my cat. A special extra episode just showing you what you've missed so far, but you've not really missed it because you can still go back and listen to it. But over the last few episodes that you've not listened to, the ones over the last year or so, you've missed this kind of thing.
The story I was going to mention about Andrew, which Andrew's probably kind of thinking, oh God, no. When he played in Oxford, in Oxford Castle's grounds, we were set up in a kind of tent thing, and Andrew played this song with the lyrics in the chorus. I think, was it, "We don't fuck, we make love," or something like that?
Yeah.
And through a PA, in a courtyard with restaurants around the edge of it, with families at the tables. And I felt so awful afterwards for him because a very irate punter from outside came and had a little chat. And it was funny in hindsight, but I can't imagine it was the most exciting experience to be sitting at the receiving end of.
Yeah, I thought I was going to get punched for sure. Because he was with a family and, you know, his face was really red and angry. And I don't know, kind of at the time I thought, oh, no one apart from the people in the tent could hear it. And it was a very sort of yuppie, rich kind of area, actually, the setting of it, which is very weird to the DIY sort of thing.
Yeah.
Yeah, and this guy was not happy about it.
He was quite furious, wasn't he?
Yeah, yeah.
I mean, with hindsight, it's quite funny.
Yeah, definitely.
And it's the kind of story that I'm kind of glad happened because it's something, you know, to tell generations in the future. And I remember that time that Andrew Lips swore at a bunch of people sitting in a restaurant by accident.
I think Lowry, in many respects, is right, and I think in some respects he's an idiot. There has become this idea that because the major record labels are a bunch of bastards, which we all know that they are, that it is then acceptable to steal any music that you want or any sort of content on the internet that you want.
DJ Plant Pop Spin Master or something like that. I don't know. It was some sort of dwarf who was saying self-deprecating stuff to sort of hit, sort of beatboxing and stuff like that.
I hate to get this nostalgic about the internet as well, but that first 5 years or something, the internet, where it was like, you know, it's like the Wild West or something, like, and people were just starting to learn how to make music on their computers and just, you know, do anything they wanted with, you know, digital technology, but using that aesthetic of the old was great, you know, like, that was awesome.
And there were some colossal arguments on that website as well.
Well, you know, the best thing about you, like, that I remember was you were just a total cunt to everybody. that's the only reason I respected you. I hated your music, but I thought that this guy's, you know, just awesome. You just ripped the piss out of anybody that came on that you thought was not worthy of being there. you laid into them.
I was there when the revolution started, and I didn't have much of a camera. I'd always carried around, you know, Polaroids and film cameras, and I had a small point-and-shoot digital camera. And I was in Tahrir a lot, and I knew Tahrir a lot, and I lived just off of Tahrir, so it was very easy for me to be out there and taking photos. And, you know, it was luck more than anything. All of a sudden, the revolution descended upon Tahrir. I happened to be on tour at the time in the Sinai with a Sudanese band, which is a different story. But we landed back in Cairo, and all of the hesitancies I'd ever had about taking photos in Egypt, which were many because of sort of cultural dynamics, dissolved because everyone wanted their photos taken in Tahrir and photos of Tahrir broadcast. So it became very easy to take a lot of photos in Tahrir. And if you come back with, you know, 300 or 400 photos on your camera, just, you know, chances are one or two of them will be good.
Yeah, there has been things happening. The things I tend to pay most attention to is the music. And I think that they could have done better at this point.
Adam Sandler is probably just the worst thing that's ever happened.
Yeah. Unlike Mark.
You're saying that Adam Sandler's the worst thing that ever happened, but surely Hitler's worse.
I don't know.
He didn't appear in any comedies, so it's difficult to compare.
Well, it depends on how you look at the work of Hitler, really, whether you think he appeared in comedies or not. I mean, you could argue that he appeared in the darkest of all comedies.
This isn't the conversation I signed up for.
And those guitars that you got from the Fender sponsorship of the documentary.
We couldn't give them away. This is another thing. Fender sponsored us, and they produced, I think it was 10 beautiful custom Fender guitars with the Anyone Can Play Guitar logo and the artwork all over them. And they gave them to us, and they said, you can do whatever you want with them, use them for promotion, you know, all that stuff. So we started getting in touch with the magazines and the websites, and no one would even take a free guitar. No one wanted to do a competition, because it turns out that you have to pay to have a competition in publications. So we went to everyone. We went to the NME. We went to everyone, and no one wanted, like...
Send it to us. We'll do a competition.
But we're still trying to, like, Play is finally doing... Play have been really good with us, play.com, and they're going to launch a competition so you can win one.
Oh,
but we gave one of them away through our local record shop for a songwriting competition, which was really good. So you had to write a song about the local music scene, and a guy called Stuart Noah won that.
I suppose you lose the physical format, but at the same time, maybe there's less waste.
Yeah, definitely. It was really funny. There was somebody who I was sort of... I mean, I guess I had met them once or twice, but then we were connected through social media, and then every time I would release a record, they would be all up on it and saying about all the environmental impact of vinyl production. And it made me feel so guilty, which was so strange.
But there's computers everywhere. In this room, there's 3 computers right now. And
there's more than 3 computers.
Yeah, so I just see can spot 3 right now. Yeah. It really depends what you define. The thing that we define the computers also changed, because these days a lot of people don't want to call the video game thing there. For example,
it's a computer.
It's certainly a computer, but a lot of people wouldn't define it as a computer simply because you can't do computerish business with it. But that doesn't really count, because it's computer games. But as soon as it's connected to a television now, people don't call it a computer for some reason. You have a thing with a smartphone. It has all the people don't call that a computer, although it's definitely a computer.
Oh, absolutely.
So a computer is a way of interacting, basically, when we talk about a computer. That's something with a screen and a keyboard.
Who do you shoot? The CEO of a generic corporation, or the sax player from the song Baker Street? Harmful CEO or sax player from Baker Street?
I quite like Baker Street.
See, I hate it. So I'm going to guess you're going to go with generic CEO.
I think there's something there in Baker Street that maybe this isn't true, but I feel like I sort of know someone who knows something, someone who knows someone who knows that guy or something. I can't. maybe that's not true.
Shoot him, and that's a fine answer.
I don't know. The CEO of a generic corporation, I suppose. Although I'm not, you know, not only through force under duress.
But most people who watch EastEnders, they know what they're doing.
Yeah, they're about wasting their life.
They're not, you know. Well, I mean, I'm not saying they're not wasting their lives, but I think they're cognizant of the waste of time that they're engaging in. You know, they see Ian Beale every day. They know. They understand their mistake.
Yeah, just look at him and go.
But they
still in it. He's got a chip shop.
He is still in it. He started out as a baby, and he's now a fully grown man who can never act in anything else ever.
Yeah. Wow.
He's the what's his name? Bill Roach, of the BBC.
Who's Bill Roach?
He's Ken Barlow, Lou Barlow's brother.
Lou Barlow's brother?
Yeah, and Gary Barlow's dad.
That was one thing as well that both me and you had back in the day, was our obsessive love of Sebado.
Sebado were a good band.
They're still my favourite band. I've not changed. Because you remember my old band that was a Sebado rip-off band?
I would say a tribute, yeah.
Snowbado.
No.
Snowbado, yeah.
I wasn't in Snowbado.
Asuka were quite... kind of dinosaur-y, Sebado-y.
Yeah, it was a sucker or something.
I felt a bit like that when I set about listening to the original audiobook of The Lord of the Rings, which is like, it's about 5 days long or something in total. It's something ridiculous. It may not be as much as that, but, you know, I was listening to an hour or so a day and I had to stop because it... My God, that's a depressing book. It really is. When you listen to it...
Is it the one where it's being read or is it the BBC?
No, it's the one where it's being read. Yeah, it's not the radio play. No, that's quite short. I think that's like 6 hours or something.
13 hours,
something like that. No, this is just being read. Jeez. And, it's not... it's someone who sounds like Ian Holm as well. Okay. It just... There were points of it where it's just such doom and gloom and I just had to stop. It was just... It was really getting me down.
But it was this feeling that everybody's, like, really closely connected in the UK. And you can find somebody who... You will know someone who knows somebody. Mm-hmm. It's not even 6 degrees of separation in this country. It's almost just, like, one.
But there is a corollary to that, which is when you're on Twitter and they're all having their big chat and you contribute and it bombs. You don't get any response whatsoever. Yeah. And that's you've then been snubbed by, like, seven of your childhood heroes.
Yeah.
And so it kind of backfires. But the other thing is, well, you see people like Stephen Jones of Baby Bird.
Yeah.
And I had to unfollow him because it was just making me really sad. You know, because it was the constant trying to get people to pay attention to Black Reindeer, which is his current project.
Yeah.
And then just... You got the distinct impression of somebody sitting in front of the TV having too much to drink, getting angry about Question Time. I don't want to imagine my musical hero was doing that.
I suppose as well, what I like sort of playing, I like sort of doing something that's really at odds with what Neil's doing in a way. It kind of feels like a sort of like a conflict or like a conversation. I suppose, like, if he's playing something very like a mundane kind of like a news thing, then I'll play something that's either like sort of quite horrible. Or, like, maybe if he's playing something that's, like, the horrible sound of, like, the dog, which sounds like a demonic thing, I like to play, like, plinky-plonky sounds. Or, like, say, like, with, like, the IRA bomb one as well, play, especially like, quite angelic kind of sounds.
Especially if it's, like... either both of us, like, cuts out the rhythm and there's just, like, so... It's good to have something like that, you know? Just like, it sort of sounds like a bit like a... If there's, like, maybe a news thing going on, it's sort of like a jingle or something like that over it, sort of.
But just
little space in between, like, the rhythms and stuff like that.
You know, I just lost interest in opinion and I started getting interested in texture and, well, in lies. I think lies have been to this decade what opinions were to last decade. I mean, I was making good money writing opinion columns and commentaries and things for various publications last decade, which I've largely stopped doing, and I'm much more interested in just sort of, you know, breathing and seeing colours and looking at shapes and telling lies, especially because lies sort of generate outrageous, not opinions, but sort of collisions of information.
Hey, speaking of that, have you heard the rumours about Lou Reed?
I've heard that they're more than rumours. I've heard that Lou Reed is Lou Deed.
We haven't seen any confirmation from any reputable news source yet, other than RollingStone.com.
Yeah, Twitter's talking about it, but I don't know whether that's...
Yeah. See, everyone seems to be referencing the same article.
Yes. And
so it's kind of weird. I haven't seen it on any major news sites or anything yet, so...
No, it might be some kind of rogue Rolling Stone person deciding to finish their career by saying Lou Reed has died. And Lou Reed's probably on the phone to them right now going, "Hey, what are you doing?"
We're hoping for that Lou Reed tweet to say, "The rumours of my death have been greatly exaggerated."
Yes. Even though I didn't have even the slightest trace of a Birmingham accent at the time, I cultivated this full kind of black country accent for this gig. it is...
You're definitely the only guy that's ever falsified a Birmingham accent or Midlands accent for any other reason than comedy.
You are not the only person. My best mate at uni was from Stourbridge, and I was bored during the summer when we get back home, and I did a rap in the Stourbridge accent. I'll tell you in the words, it was, I won't do the accent because it's just a, will I? Okay then. Let me tell you about my friend, his name is Eric. He pays his dues, you don't pay no tariff. He likes to house and he likes to funk, and he likes to eat and drink lots of junk. Like Toppy Crisps from the petrol station, but he's the coolest motherfucker of his generation. He don't drink booze, and he don't smoke weed, and the only drug he's linked to is LSD. Stourbridge is a town that he was born in, and he likes to walk home from joy at 5 in the morning. He's a cool-looking dude. I took back to follow. You give him a fiver, you give it back to you tomorrow. He's kind of cool and he's kind of baddish, even though he speaks like Baddy the Radish. So I'd like to say hello and salutations to the coolest motherfucker of his generation. Hit it. I don't know why I remembered that, but I did try to do it in a Starbridge accent, and I'd forgotten that there was a whole Starbridge connection here, so I'm very pleased.
If you'd be kind enough to write that down for me, it'll be the first track on our next album.
Oh, could you? Oh, magic.
So, Mustaches, though. Mustaches, I have noticed, kind of seem to be a common theme. I'm guessing because of the mustache glasses. Did that kind of seem to fit with you to sort of fit in with the gender identity stuff that you've mentioned before?
Yeah, that was essentially what it was all about. I felt like I put them on and suddenly became transformed. So I did a portrait of myself with the moustache glasses, and obviously the one of the lady in a gold burqa with moustache glasses. So I don't know if I'll do any more moustache stuff now, because if I'm honest, as a trend, it's become a bit overdone, I think. It's been around for quite a long time now.
Strawberry.
You guys are saving all kinds of time.
And you really should stick around if you like the sound of that, because coming up are things like this.
Yeah, that's the story. So, listeners, that's what's happening. In Australia, somewhere in the desert, there's a fully stocked Apple store, and you can just walk in. The door's open.
We can make a website for it and Photoshop a good image of it just kind of float that out there into the world and see if someone goes looking for it or grows.
Yeah, I think that's a fantastic idea. I think that's something. I think there we go. There's a joint project. We'll work something out. The problem is that Apple would probably sue people for making fake websites of them. But then I guess you could say, no, it's not that thing.
Or they might, if it becomes very popular and trendy, it could be interpreted as an advertisement for them.
Yeah.
So,
yeah. Of course, people might go looking for it. And then we might be responsible for deaths. It's amazing that technology has given us such a cornucopia of choice.
Yeah.
It's like a little cornucopia that you can open it and it...
Well, you said it twice.
It pours out. Yeah.
Well, it's you little, said it...
It's because I can pronounce it, so I, it's one of those... It's like phenomenon. I can say that, so I use it.
Do-do-do-do-do.
Phenomenon.
Do-do-do-do-do.
Phenomenon.
Do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do- on.
You see, that, that signal is going up into space, under wires, under oceans, and in real time we're still having a conversation. Gotta love technology. So Who the Hell is Terriel is a song that your band has written.
I wrote it.
Let's face it, you are the band.
No. No, Carlton, and Lizzie, of course, Ash. Lizzie.
Yeah.
But Carlton is a significant element.
Is Don't Lose Your Phone on the first night of your 3-day fest.
This band have never achieved anything.
Yeah, this page was nominated for deletion. Yeah, it was nominated for deletion on the 15th of May this year.
But then all these people went in and said, no, you can't. Where do you place the bar for how something is? Because someone had said, well, they'd never been reviewed in the NME. And the reply had been, well, how can you gauge that is the bellwether by which, you know, you have to deem a band legitimate just because they've not been in the certain publication that you deem important enough? Why does that mean that they're not noteworthy enough to have their own Wikipedia page?
So there you go. That's what you've missed if you haven't been tuning in, and that's what you've got to look forward to. So go to petpiranha.com, subscribe via iTunes, make sure you check the website regularly because that's where the new episodes are a week before everyone else gets them, and then they appear on YouTube as well. And that's all for now, and coming up is the new ending.
Thank you for downloading this episode of Future Library. Future Library is brought to you by petpiranha.com and is hosted by myself, Alex Bottom. The podcast is free, but if you do want to show your appreciation, feel free to go along to alexbottom.co.uk and click through to music, where you'll be able to find things that you can buy, or go to asmallglassghost.co.uk where you can buy my latest music. Episodes come out when I feel like it, mostly weekly. But that's it, so thank you for listening. Thank you.